Amen. Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here this morning. And it's wonderful to see this number. We might have to do some ushering or something to try to even this out. I think this side's got a little bit on more than on this side. That means this side has to be louder than this side, right? Is that how that's going to work out? That's how we'll leave it out. It is such a blessing to see y'all. Any visitors with us, praise the Lord. We're glad you're here with us this morning. And all those that attend here, we're thankful that you're here with us this morning. And if you will, let's just go ahead and be turning to Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm chapter number 51. Don't tend to move too many different places this morning. I think sometimes it's easier for me to even track a message if there's less reading and less to turn to and just really kind of get to the heart of what the message is about. And I want to say thank you to all that helped and was able to come out and be with the benefit yesterday for little Maisie and little Zeke. That was a great success. Many people showed up, and it's a beautiful day for it. The Lord allowed the wonderful weather. Thought it was supposed to be just kind of cloudy and dreary, but it cleared up to be pretty nice. And I thank the Lord for that and the turnout. And we do have a wonderful community as far as support. It's a blessing. The blessing to see all that. And I have to say, it's a little hard in studying yesterday. I want to say this. I appreciate Dad filling in for me on Wednesday night. Really appreciate that. And it's something when somebody can kind of step in at a moment's notice and kind of fill in. And I don't take that for granted, Brother Tim. I know you've been there as well and different ones, but I appreciate that. And also, I was able to listen in some to Antioch services this week with Brother Andy Wells, and very good messages. If you can go online, if you are on Facebook or what have you, and you see Antioch services from this week, I encourage you to listen in. It was a wealth of information. One of the things that Brother Daniel said to me was, he said, Brother Andy can just flat out feed you the Word of God. And you know, that's what we need. It's not about, you know, being showy or putting on a show, but I tell you, it spoke to my heart this week, and I encourage you to listen in on it. It was a wealth of knowledge. A lot of it was surrounding knowing your purpose, finding the purpose in your life, and it was just really good how he brought that out in the Bible. And so yesterday and this week, trying to put things together, usually the way things kind of happen for me, something will happen during the week, and the Lord will kind of lead me to some scripture. And I told Brother Daniel yesterday when I saw him at the benefit, I said, Brother, I don't have a clue what I'm going to preach tomorrow. And he said, well, I kind of have an idea, but I don't know. He said, after a week of services like that, sometimes it's hard to get your mind straightened on what you would want to preach after something like that. And I said, well, Brother, I'm struggling. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is one of those times, it's like, Lord, you do what you want to, because I don't know what to do. And I started reading and studying a little bit, and the Lord laid something on my heart. He was talking about, again, how Brother Daniel mentioned how Brother Andy could just kind of lay out the Word of God to you just plain. And I went to Psalm 34, and it says here in verse 8, it says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I thought, you know, that's good. When you get the good Word of God, it tastes good. It should. Depending on what side of the fence you might be on, sometimes medicine don't taste good, but it'll help you get better, help you feel better, it'll make you better. And I really just couldn't get settled. And I'm telling you, church, I probably got 3 or 4 pages of notes at the house. And I'm like, Lord, it's all good. Your word is all good, but I just don't know what to do. And Brandy was talking to me, and she said, you know, there's a lot of broken hearts, a lot of things going on in the church, just a lot of things, a lot of people going through hard things, whether it be with sickness or just family things or what have you. And she said, in their verse in the Bible, it talks about how the Lord is nigh to them that are brokenhearted. And I said, I think it's in there somewhere. I know. But you know what was so funny is that was in Psalm chapter number 34, where I began reading earlier in the day. I was like, well, my goodness, all that studying to bring me right back down, Brother Tim, to the same chapter I was in. I was like, Lord, you know something I don't. You know all things that I don't. So I kind of studied that, and I thought, well, we'll just stay there. And this morning I want to preach to you for a few minutes about the Lord being nigh, that he is nigh. And I want you to see some of the circumstances surrounding that, and I want us to know and understand that the way God works with us has never changed. It's the same. We look around at the world and we see a lot that's going on. And I think we think, well, maybe since the world's different, he's different, but he's not. The way that we approach him is the same that we have always had to approach him. And look what the Bible says here. I'll read this in Psalms 34, but then the main part of the message will be over in Psalm 51, where I ask you to turn. But it says here, Psalm 34, 18, it says, "The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." You see some humbleness there. We'll get into those definitions here in just a minute, but I thought that was interesting and good, and how it words that out, and it words it out that way in multiple places in the Bible. Verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Many things that you're facing, many things that people in our community are facing, many things that people in this church are facing, I'm facing, we all are facing, visitors are facing, many afflictions. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." You know, he knows what those are, and he is there to deliver us out of those. Isn't that good? The Lord doesn't want us to stay just in the place of being in a broken spirit. He doesn't want us to stay there. But there's something that it means, and we'll see in what it shows here in just a minute. It said, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." Makes me think about the Lord Jesus Christ when he's on the cross. Remember the prophecy that said that not one bone would be broken? You know, as those guards were breaking the legs of those other people that were around Jesus, but Jesus's wasn't. They pierced his side to fulfill the prophecy that not one bone would be broken. You know, thought about that a little bit this morning. You could have a muscular system of a body, but it's the bones that holds it up. Isn't that something? I thought that was nice to know. Not one bone was broken. "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate." The Lord's going to settle all these things up. It's not for us to worry about. The Lord's going to settle that. It says here, verse 22, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." You know, when we put our trust in the Lord, sometimes maybe it takes a little time for things to come back around and maybe settle out or settle down. You know, we get a little impatient with that and we think that we're on the losing side. I want to show you some things this morning that'll show you that we're not. He's still in control. He sees everything. He knows everything. And he's there for his own. Let's pray this morning. We'll go to Psalm 51. Lord, I just thank you so much, God, for this church. The people that you've allowed to be here with us today, God, that you've led our way, Lord, we just pray for them. Every single one of them, God, you know what their need is. You know what they're facing in their home life, their personal life, their work life, school life, all the decisions, their church or Christian life, all the different assets or facets of life, God, that people are in or are facing. God, you know each one of those. And Lord, it's just so good and plain for us to see and understand that all paths, all those things should run through you first, God, that there not be different blocks or different things in our life, but we should just be who you have called us to be, God, and understand and know that you're near to us. There's times in life we get news, we hear of things, God, that just shake us to our very core, and we don't know what to do or how to respond, God, but I thank you for your word, how it shows us plainly and clearly how we are to relate to you, how we are to respond to you, God, if we want the results that we desire to have. God, we can have that relationship with you. It's up to us. It's our choice. Lord, I know you are near. It's us who builds walls, not you, God, as far as our lives go. God, Lord, please help us. Help us here today. Help each heart. Lord, I know what you've laid on my heart, and I just pray that you deliver it. Lord, get me out of the way. Help me to focus. Help me to speak clearly. And I just pray that your will be done here this morning. Anyone that's lost, God, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Lead us and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're in Psalm 51 now. And what a chapter that Psalm 51 is. If you're a Bible reader or studier, you probably kind of know what this is about or what it's pertaining to. And I tell you, people can find themselves in a lot of messes and a lot of situations. You say, "Preacher, I thought you're going to try to be encouraging this morning," and I am. But what you got to see and understand, when it comes time to do business with God, there's only one way that you can do that. You can't do it your way. You have to do it His way. And that way, Brother Allen, has never changed. It's never changed. If there's anything standing in the way, it's got to be out of the way first. Then you can be as near to God as you want to be. It's your choice. The problem is, and just, I tell you, Brother Raymond, you didn't know how close you were getting to my message, but and just putting everything together, but I got a reaffirmation during Sunday school. Lord, you know exactly where you wanted us to be. But we see this here. You might have a subscription. If you have a King James Bible with you, you might have a subscription, or should have, at the beginning of that, which is a part of what this chapter is about. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Boy, you know where we're going now, don't you? I read that a few times and I thought, my goodness, this is how you're going to encourage somebody with this. I'll show you here in just a minute. You see how the Lord laid this out? I'm so thankful that Nathan was being obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know who Nathan was talking to? Nathan was talking to the king of Israel when he came to him. That would be like going to the president today or going to a king today to rebuke them of the sin that they had taken part in. There's not a long line of people that want to do that. There's not. There's not a long line of people who are willing or being obedient to God to rebuke people for their sin. You know, that's not popular, but it's needed. There's some things you have to get out of the way first if you want to do business with God. I'd ask you this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'd ask you this morning, do you really want to get down and do business with God? And I think a lot of people probably would raise their hand. Well, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to put something into it. Or the Lord knows that you're not meaning to do business with Him. If you're trying to hold on to things that's not supposed to be there, you're not doing business with God. He knows that. Boy, it's plain and clear. He knows that. He brings that out. I read something this week. He said, you know what really worship is? It's not coming to church on Sunday morning and singing and shouting and doing all these kind of things. He said, you know what worship is? It's laying down those little sins that nobody knows anything about. It's choosing God over your sin. That's what it's about. He says a lot of things. Well, people don't know. You don't know my life. I don't know your life. And sometimes what we think is if we don't see somebody publicly rebuked for sin or something, that they're getting away with it. You don't know what's going on in the heart of people. You don't always get to see. I don't always get to see what a person is going through with their sin or with their battle. We don't see that, but the Holy Spirit does. See, He knows that. These sleepless nights, these times that people are dealing with things, that they're dealing with things that's there, trying to hold on to that and trying to hold on to trying to have a relationship with God. And I'm just going to tell you, you can't do both. You can't have it both ways. You can't pretend to be dealing with your sin and having that taken care of and have the relationship with God that you want. You're going to have to say no to one or the other. That's the way the Lord is. He's not into being lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. He knows. If we come to Him in a pretend prayer life, like we're trying to do business with Him and say, Lord, help me with this, forgive me for this, but I'm not letting go of this. He knows that. You're not going to get the results that you want. I promise you that. How do you know? Because I have experience. Amen. I've been there. But once you get to a place in your life that you really want to do business with God, I want you to know that He is nigh and you can. We see here in Psalm chapter number 51. Kind of want to go through this chapter, mainly highlight a few verses, but there's a few things here. You see what David had done? We talked about Solomon just a couple of Sundays ago, a few weeks ago. David's son. David was not the one. He was a man of war. He was not the one chosen by God to build a temple. That was Solomon. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, the Bible says. But you know what is very interesting about Solomon and David is how different that they were. You think the wisest man to ever live would not make the same mistakes or make mistakes that his father made, would you? That he's got all that figured out. But you remember And talking about wisdom, wisdom only works while you are working wisdom. It's the rightful use of knowledge. See, a lot of people have knowledge, but they don't use it. They don't use it according to God's word. They have it banked up. The way Solomon was, he could spout it out. People came far and wide just to hear what he was going to say next. It's amazing. But you know the problem Solomon had? He wasn't willing to always use it. He was told, he was advised, you better stay away from all the concubines, all this. You're not supposed to do that. He did it anyway, and it cost him. It cost him. Now we look at David, and we see why Nathan came to talk to him here. You know, it was a serious business. You know, he got in a mess with Bathsheba there. He committed adultery, and he also committed murder. That's two of the big ones, right? That's two of the big ones. That's what we'd say. You say, preacher, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery, but can I tell you this morning, whatever the little sin is, if you want to call it little, that'll hold you back just like it was holding David back. I don't really have a good analogy, but I think we have dimmers in here. This is kind of the way I would look at it. But you see the lights are on, right? You can see it. If I go over there and I turn the dimmer switch down and the lights get dimmer, are the lights still on? Amen, they're still on, right? Just a little dimmer. That's the way sin is. In our eyes, in God's eyes, it's all sin. Every jot and tittle. You ever break one part of the law, you broke it all is what the Bible says. That kind of keeps it plain and clear, doesn't it? Light's always on in the Lord's eyes, if you want to look at it that way. But you see here, David, he wanted to have a right relationship with God. He was willing to do away with things. Sometimes people are not willing to take care of the problem until they get caught. But I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're going through something and you want to have that closeness with God that you want to have, you can, but there's a certain way you have to approach it. You see David here, he was going through this, and this is a prayer from him, the way he had written this down here, the way it's written, verse chapter 51, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." He wanted his transgressions gone. "So wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is forever before me." You know, a lot of times what happens when we pray, if we're not careful, we'll try to minimize our sin. "Lord, please forgive me where I failed you." That's fair enough. But what did David say here? He said he wanted forgiveness for his transgressions. He wanted forgiveness for that fault that was against God. He was calling it as bad as it was. He wasn't trying to minimize it. I think the problem that we have a lot of times is we've minimized our sin so much that we don't sin anymore. You ever think about that? Think about it. You say, I don't see it that way. Do you not? How many repeat offenders do we have this week of something that you want to lay down and quit? That you know you need to lay down and quit, but you haven't. That's a repeat offender. If you're not careful as you try to move through life with these things, as you try to move forward and go on, that'll get lesser and lesser of a sin. You say, I'm just going to carry it with me. Carry that to your prayer closet and you won't get very far. I promise you that. If you're struggling with your prayer life, that might be the very thing that's causing you the number one problem. See, David, when he brought this in, he was talking about the problems that he had. He wanted his transgressions gone. He knew how bad his sin was. It came home. He realized it. He knew if he was going to have that relationship with God like he was supposed to have, he's going to have to lay these things down. You can say, "Amen, preacher, that's good," or you can sit there and say nothing, but I tell you what, if you go home and you keep doing the very thing that the Lord is convicting your heart of right now, you'll never get past that. I'll never get past that. If you want to have that relationship with Him like you maybe are desiring to have, you're going to have to deal with these things first. You have to. You have to deal with that. Verse number 3, it says, "For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me." That is something that was laid before him. We see on down, you see his transgressions. David had met with that. He wanted to deal with that. Now, We see in verse number 7. Number 1, you see his transgressions, his acknowledgement of it. Number 2, right here, you see he wanted to be purged. He wanted it to be removed. He wanted it gone out of his heart and out of his life. See, that's how you change your prayer life with God. That's how you change your response from God, because he knows now you're meaning business. You acknowledge it. And now you say, Lord, please purge it. Lord, this is something hard I've been dealing with. This is something I've been facing. This is something I want gone. But guess what? Lord, I'm weak and I can't do it. Will you purge it for me? That's what he's asking here. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop. You know, that was a very strong cleaning agent that they used during this time. And it was used to deal with leprosy. Leprosy was a bad disease. Eat you alive. Needed something powerful enough to kill it, so it couldn't kill you, or maybe stop it, so it wouldn't spread. Isn't that something? You know, sin's a lot that way. It needs something powerful enough to kill it. You know what? You know what the world teaches you today? I've been doing my own study on mega churches and super churches, whatever you want to call them. I call it just a bunch of hypocrisy and lies is all it is. You know what they teach you? That you have the power to change your life. It's all in the power of the mind, the power of positive thinking. You know what that is? That's a lie. You and I don't have that power. There's things you're facing right now that you cannot overcome in and of yourself. Do you know that? If you've not come to that realization yet, you better soon. Because I still need God. You still need the Lord. If Jesus didn't have to die for our sin, he wouldn't have. But it takes the blood, Brother Darren, the blood of Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. That's the only agent that can cure us of sin. The only one. Yeah. And what David is saying here, he's saying, purge my heart with hyssop. Take the blood of Jesus Christ and clean my heart out, is what he's saying. Boy, that's powerful. I like being clean. Brother Bill, do you like being clean? I do. I'm just going to be honest. Some people like to get around the mud, roll around the dirt. They don't bother. I don't like it. I'm just going to be honest. Brandy will tell you, if I eat something that's sticky, the first thing I'm asking for is some handy wipes. I don't like sticky on my hands. I don't like that. Especially if I'm in the car, I don't like that. If you're eating something sticky on my hand, because if I don't wipe it off now, I'm going to put it on my steering wheel and it's going to be there forever. And I'll just be in the mess. You know, that's how sin is. You don't deal with it, you'll transfer it to somebody else. It's a sticky mess. It's how it works. You don't want that. I want to be clean. I like being clean and having everything ordered and in its place. Lord Jesus Christ is like that. He likes having order to things. Tell you, if you ever let the Lord clean your heart out, you'll be a different person. I'll tell you, the biggest experience I've had with that was August 14th, 1988. I was just 12 and I didn't fully understand it, but that was a day that changed my life forever. Never felt that way before when Jesus saved me. He cleaned my heart out. He gave me a new heart. What a time that was. I never felt like that as a young kid. I didn't understand everything and don't understand everything now. But I knew he cleaned my heart out. He showed me that there could be a different way of life. All the sins, all the burdens, all the things that I had been holding on to or had at that time in my life, in one instant they were gone. Praise the Lord for it. What a feeling. Never want to get over that. Never want to lose that. He's saying, purge me. Purge my heart. Like what he says here in verse number 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You're not going to get a new clean heart if there's a bunch of junk in it. You're not going to get a new clean heart if there's a little bit of junk in it. It won't be completely clean. You know what really stands out in a clean place? If you go into a white, pristine, clean place, you know what stands out? Any little bit of trash. That's what your eyes will light upon. It will. You go into a bright room or room that looks empty, doesn't seemingly have a whole lot in it or much in it, the very little that it has in it, that's what your eyes are going to see. Think about trying to pray to the Lord with a little bit of dirt in your house, in your heart. Are we going to do something about this first? So I'm a holy and righteous God. We need to clean this up first. Lord, I kind of want to leave that there. Well, if you want me to come in, you have to be willing to remove that. That little, what we would call a little bit of dirt. Well, Lord, I think we'll just leave it and we'll just go on from here with just mediocre Christian life. Just a mediocre lifestyle. I'll try to feel something on Sunday morning. I'll try to praise you at church, or I'll try to witness to you. I tell you, that's not how it works. You need all the power of God on your life, and I do too. In this world, if you notice, it's waxing worse and worse. We need more and more help of God. But you see here, as we go on down, verse number 10 there, create me a new heart. Verse number 12, I like this. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, the Lord is into restoration. A lot of people, when we see the judgment of God, and I understand that, the judgment of God is real. People who will not repent of sin, people who will not walk away from it, those who will not accept Him, one day they will absolutely be judged. That's what the Bible teaches. It's plain and we can all see it. But you know, the beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to be a reconciler. He came to be an advocate. He came to restore. He came to revive this earth from the sin that it was cast under by the choice of mankind. He came to restore. He came to rebuild it. That's something that I like. Thinking about my life, I want to say this. Thought about this a lot this week. You know, we think about the benefits of God, the mercies of God, and how they're new every single morning. They are. What I've learned about my life, Sister Holly, as I get older, I'm not much of a night person. I kind of go down at nighttime, but as the morning comes up, it feels like a fresh new day. It's because the mercies of God are new every morning. Do you believe that? It's what the Bible says. That's why I say it. But you know what we do? We think about the mercies of God and how long-suffering He is, and how we have second chances, we have third chances, and hundredth chances. What we do sometimes is we say, if I fall, the Lord just pick me up again. Well, let me tell you this. By the course of time, when we're doing these startovers, when we're doing these resets, by the course of time, by the time that you go around this earth, time and time again, by the course of time, your life's going to be over. How many resets do you have? How many more restarts do you have? By the course of time, we don't have an infinite amount. One day we'll pass on. That should make me think, you know what, this next reset, maybe I should make this one count. Maybe I should make this one mean something, Brother Tony. Maybe this one should stick. Maybe people should believe this one and see this one and not just fall out of it again. Be running hot and running cold, hot and cold. The Lord will restore you, but what you do with that restoration is up to you. We don't have an infinite amount of restarts and resets. We see the importance of His broken heart that's talking about here. I want us to see verse number 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, the Old Testament, they used to bring the sacrifices. We've talked a lot about that. Brought the sacrifices before God. They would slay those animals, those bulls. Slay those animals for a sacrifice for sin. But you see what it says here? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Broken, that means to be parted by violence or rent asunder. You look at contrite, it goes a little bit deeper. It says to break or bruise. Deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. It's talking about a true sign of repentance. You know, when we have sin in our life that we're trying to hold on to, you know what the Lord is saying here? He said, break that and bruise that up. Get away from it. Do away with it is what He's saying. He's not saying pack it up nicely and just kind of put it off to the side so you can easily come back to it and pick it back up. He's saying break it asunder. Consume it. Do away with it. See, ain't that something? What does that remind you of? How did God deal with sin on the cross?
He was bruised for our transgressions. That it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That's what it cost. And that's exactly what God is asking from you and us, you and I, to do away with this sin, break it up. And he's saying, you know what? If you don't, I will. He's saying, you deal with that. If you're going to be like me, if we're going to be like Jesus, the example, all man and all God that we see in his flesh, you know what he had to do? He had to bring his flesh under submission to do the will of God. You and I have to do the very same thing. That's what he's telling us to do. He's saying, bruise it, break it down, whatever it costs, to take care of it, that's what you were supposed to do. That's a sacrifice to God, not the bulls and the blood of the animals, but he's saying the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. He said that's how we're supposed to come to him. That's how we're supposed to come to him in this day and time. You know, there's times in my life I've been broken for my sin. I've been convicted of my sin and tried to approach the Lord this way. But sometimes you know what it is also? You get bad news. You get hard news. You're going through a hard circumstance in life. You know, sometimes what will happen, just on the day of the provocation, you know what they did? They hardened their hearts. Israelites hardened their hearts because times got hard. You know what this teaches right here? Even when times get hard, you're still supposed to approach God the same way. Contrite and broken. He said he will not despise. He'll listen to that. Maybe if you're praying, maybe if you're trying to get things right with God, maybe you haven't taken it that far yet. When was the last time you was truly heartbroken over anything? Have you ever been? When I think of contrite, I think of somebody that's laying flat on the ground. Face up, face down, it don't matter, just laying flat down. When was the last time you were so heartbroken over something that you were in that state? How many of you have friends? Are all your friends saved? If you say no to that, you should have enough broken heart that it would put you in that position. Jesus is coming back. Is everything in your life the way the Lord would have it to be? If it's not, you should want to get that fixed. Maybe you're dealing with something hard in your life that you cannot control. Guess what? This still applies. You approach God the same way. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. If we are not, I wrote this down yesterday, if we are not contrite over our own sin, if we're not broken and contrite over our own sin, if we're harboring that inside, even if we try to pretend like it's a little minute thing, if we're not broken and contrite over our own sin, we will never have a burden for the sin of the lost. Did you know that? You can say, oh boy, I want to see them saved. I'm still going to live like I want to, though. The world sees that. It sees it in me, sees it in you. They see no difference than we're truly not contrite and broken over our own sin. And we're just hoping maybe by some wind the Lord will save them. It's like we have no part in it. We're the church. We're the light. I don't want it to be a dim running light. I want it to be bright. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter number 18. I want to go there for just a second. I'll be closing soon. Brother Raymond, you got right up against this morning in Sunday school, and I thought, my goodness, won't be nothing left for me to preach this morning. Just have to replay Sunday school. But you see in David's life, you see the way he was praying there, he knew he had done wrong. It doesn't take away what he did. You think about Solomon, Solomon was not willing to take it as far as he should have to get right with God. We see David had a heart after God. He admitted his transgressions. He wanted them purged. He asked for a new heart to be created. He asked to be restored. I want you to see kind of how the Lord looks at you and me. How he absolutely looks at you and me. Jeremiah talking here, it's talking about the nation of Israel, but it's talking about going down to the potter's house. I like this. Because, you know, he's near. It's not something he sends somebody to do. This is how the Lord
is working on your life this morning. This is how he works with us. It's a very intimate thing. You think about the potter's wheel. It says, the word which came into Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. You know, I think that's what happens sometimes when these things happen in life. He causes us to hear his words. There, this week I heard him so sweet and so dear. And it wasn't anything that was expected that I saw it coming. It's just sometimes the Lord does things the way he does it, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. But this week I felt a presence of the Lord just so near and so real. It's how it's like when you go down to the potter's house, is what he's saying here. Go down to the potter's house, and I will cause thee to hear my words. He's working on you. He's talking to you while he's working on you. That's intimate. I want to say this. If the Lord ever lays his hands on you, you're going to know it. Good or bad, you're going to know it. He looks down, he looks at my life, he looks at your life, and he wants to make something out of it. You and I are not in control here. Dips his hands in the water and softly tries to form our life. That's what he's doing. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You and I are a work in progress, if we want to believe that or not. He wrought a work on the wheels. And look what it said here in verse number 4. And it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. See, that's kind of what we do sometimes with our own life. Man, we can mar our life up in a hurry. Doesn't take much time at all. A couple of bad decisions, a couple of wrong choices. Sometimes it's made in ignorance. Sometimes it's made in knowing. Maybe not fully understanding the repercussions. But I tell you what, it doesn't take much. If I was the one that had my hand on the wheel or driving the wheel and trying to create my own pottery out of this vessel, I tell you, I've tried that before. Probably about the first half of my life is how I lived this. Lord, I'm going to do this. This is what we do, church. I want to tell you this. This came clear. This is what we try to do with the Lord. We try to fit him in to our schedule. We want to do something for the Lord. I'd say everybody here raise their hand. I want to do something for the Lord. You know what the next thing you do is? You try to figure out what you want to do for the Lord and make it fit. That's not how it works. You see, this pottery that's on this wheel, Brother Nathan, they don't get to decide what they are. It might be a mug. It might be a plate. It might be a pot. But guess what? They do not get to decide. The potter does. And you're not going to fit in the cabinet in the right place until you realize it's his and not yours. We try to make it ours. Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Lord says, I don't want you to do that. If you're doing that on your own accord, you're not fully submitted to me, and you'll think you're the one doing it. It's not us. Never has been, never will be. The one of the biggest blessings that you can ever find out about yourself is how weak you really are and how dependent on God we really are. The world doesn't teach that. These things you see on TV doesn't teach that. It teaches just to be a stronger person. That's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches how we need him. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Another vessel. As it seemed good to the potter to make it. That's when you take your will and you give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, what you want. Whatever it is you want, that's what I want to do. That means you have to take your hand off the wheel. I think there's a song probably that says something along those lines. Do you have enough faith in God to do that? Do you trust him enough? Do you trust him enough? Let me ask this the right way. Do you want what he wants enough to allow him to actually do it and you not pretend like you're doing it? I've had to learn that many times in my life. There's times I've taken my hands off and say, Lord, you drive. I trust you. If you're not careful, it doesn't take long. You'll have twists and turns in life, and you'll grab your hands right back on that wheel, and you're going to try to drive in a different direction. You're like, I'm not happy anymore. I've lost the joy of my salvation. Because you're trying to write the story, which he is the author and finisher of, not you and not me. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel as it seemed good unto the potter to make it. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do this with you as the potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. He's talking to the entire nation of Israel at this time about how he was going to reform and reshape them. How much more? He can do the same thing in our life if we're willing to let him do that. A couple of things here. Broken spirit. And a broken and contrite heart, that happens when you acknowledge your sin, you're broken over it, you understand your weakness, and you're sorry for it. You want the Lord to do a change. You want the Lord to do a work. I'm going to stop right there this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I praise God for His Word.